Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy all, it's Monday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 28th, 2011, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
And they're off in the Louisiana Derby. And here's Buy and Drive going straight out toward the front from Pants on Fire as they come past the stands. And Mucho Macho Man's got a good spot early on with Majestic Harbor running in fourth. Nero's Keen in fifth. Nacho Business is sixth. And Left is seventh as they turn. Then Maverick King, Maychen, Nero, the LeComp winner, Wilkinson running in 11th. And Elite Alex has dropped back to 12th. It's Buy and Drive in front around the first turn. Buy and Drive leads by 3/4 of a length. Pants on Fire to prompt Buy and Drive as they race on to the backstretch now. Buy and Drive and Pants on Fire as they move through the turn. Mucho Macho Man now being driven by Rajiv Mirage. Nero at the inside right there as they come toward the top of the stretch. Pants on Fire in front at the quarter pole as Buy and Drive gives way and they're into the stretch now. 3/4 and 1/12 flat. Pants on Fire led, but here comes Mucho Macho Man and Maychen charging now into the final furlong. Toward the inside, Pants on Fire and Mucho Macho Man. These two for the final 16th. Nero's closing fast. It's Pants on Fire for Rosie Napravnik. Pants on Fire has won the Louisiana Derby over Nero. Mucho Macho Man finished third, and Elite Alex was fourth in 1:49.4.
Yes, that is right. Our horse, Mucho Macho Man, did not win the Louisiana Derby, the $1 million race, but he did come in third, so it's actually a really good show. They dueled neck and neck down the backstretch and all the way down to the wire. However, they're reporting that Mucho Macho Man lost a front right shoe actually coming out of the starting gates. So, yeah, I know it sounds like, you know, it's an excuse, but those of us know when you lose a shoe and you're out there riding, I mean, my horse is enough of a wuss to go lame right then. You know, like he won't even step on the ground. Like, oh, Mom, my foot. So the fact that this horse went out and ran an entire freaking race with one shoe missing and a front shoe, nonetheless, and went ahead and still ran third is, I think, very impressive. Now, this horse, Pants on Fire, what a story this horse has, too, because this horse, Pants on Fire, is supposed to be a stablemate for a better horse. And they sent Pants on Fire to this race, apparently to be what they call a rabbit, to speed up the race for his stablemate, which I think is horrible.
He sped it up, all right.
Yeah, no kidding.
Stablemate forgot to win, though. I mean,
the stablemate came in eighth, okay, so it wasn't even close. So now they're saying Pants on Fire is going to go to the Kentucky Derby. So that horse is going to go. Mucho Macho Man still going. So we will still see Pants on Fire and Mucho Macho Man duel again because the last time they raced together, Triple M, we call him, came actually and beat Pants on Fire by a ton. So we'll see. This is going to be a good little duel coming down the home stretch at the Kentucky Derby. I'm really excited. But the other cool story.
Yeah, go ahead. I think I know what you're going to talk about. You heard in the call there that we just played him saying Rosie at the end. Was that what you were going to talk about?
Yes, it was. This is a cool story. This is the son of a farmer's daughter does good. Basically, this chick who was riding Pants on Fire is like the hottest female jockey in Louisiana right now. She won five races on the card that day. Five races that day. She's winning everything, Glenn.
She's won 110 victories in this season, in the season they have, and she's a 30 ahead in the jockey standings, and she's the first jockey to ever win the Louisiana Derby, a female jockey to ever win the Louisiana Derby. And, you know, she is among the top five jockeys in the country in both victories and earnings. If you're not familiar with racing, you might go, oh, that's no big deal. That's a big deal for a female jockey to be doing this well.
Oh, it's incredible. Her name is Anna Rosie Napravnik, and she is 23 years old. I mean, that's amazing. So apparently she's starting to get a little bit popular with the boys and the fans and the horses. So we're just going to bring her to you. We got to get her on the show because she just sounds like this amazing woman going out there and kicking the butt of all these boys repeatedly, five to win five races in one day. That's incredible. That's incredible.
And apparently now that down at that track, they have the Rosie chants have started. So, well, anytime she's racing and winning and stuff, they start chanting Rosie, and she's become more of a celebrity than the horses. So, she's really become this thing down there, and now you've got to believe that they're going to ride her on Pants on Fire in the Derby, and she'll have her first shot at that. You would believe that.
Oh, I think she's got to ride the horse in the Derby. So we'll keep you up to date on that. But we have an awesome show, Glenn, and I want Jennifer to tell us what it is. Jennifer?
Is Jennifer there?
Sorry, I forgot to hit my button. It's that kind
of Monday.
It's Monday. On today's show, it's all about listener feedback, thank goodness, because we can't get anything right, and tough love. First up, we have Dr. Jen Oakley, the love doctor, to answer that question. Do you need to get some tough love in your horse-to-human relationship? So that ought to be a good time. This is pointed to you, Jamie. And then we will be reviewing the results of another question. Last week we posed, what are some of the weird things your horse eats? And who'd have thought our listeners' horses were such gastronomists, because it's amazing what they eat. And as usual, Glenn and Jamie have amassed all of the news headlines in the horse world for you to hear and sit back and enjoy.
Wanted to also say that we have Templeton Thompson calling in a little later in the show. She's going to be talking about her new CD that's out, and we have a song from that to play for you later, too. And we always love having Templeton on, so we're looking forward to chatting with her a little bit later. But first, the first Daily Whinny goes out to another guy listener, Clifford Harris from New York, posted on our website, Jamie and Glenn, you both put a smile on my face and make me laugh. Thank you for doing the show. Clifford from New York. Well, thank you, Clifford. I am really impressed with the number of guys we're hearing from now. I think that this show, of all the shows we do on the network, has really bridged the gender gap better than any
well,
of them.
That's because we talk a little sports. We don't. You hate baseball. I hate basketball. So not the sports thing we're doing. Let's see. We talk racing maybe sometimes. I don't know what it is. But, yeah, guys seem to like this show. We have at least five guy listeners now, Glenn. So, you know, we're really bridging the gap. Going out there.
I know. I think so.
Five.
I'm excited.
Yeah, right. We're really reaching out, all five. But
yeah, but
guys,
you got to figure that you only hear from about 10% of the people who actually listen. So that means that we might have 50. How about that?
Keep telling yourself. And the Daily Whinny goes out to Spursuader.com. And it's actually, we talked about it with Jennifer before. It's a great choice for low-impact spurs. So we wanted to thank them for becoming a new affiliate. And on the bottom of our website is all the affiliates listed. So we do appreciate them for broadcasting our show. So hello, SpurSuader.com.
Last Daily Winnie of today goes out to Lisa Rogers of our adopted city of Norco, California, for sending us a very nice care package. We got this huge basket full of Norco stuff. So we're going to take a picture of everything that they sent us, and we're going to post it on our Facebook page later in the day.
Yeah, that basket had everything but the horse.
Yeah. Good. There's plenty of horses to go around. We've all got enough. Well, Glenn, how was y'all's weekend? I saw pictures from the rodeo, so I wanted to find out. I love seeing the pictures of you guys at the rodeo with the giant 10-gallon cowboy hats on. So, Jen, I want to talk to you. How was the rodeo?
The rodeo was great fun. One of the distinct things that we need to mention, because we're here in Lexington, Kentucky, the University of Kentucky, UK, was playing basketball that night, and it was Final Four. Is that which one it was? It was like one of the end rounds. It was a really big deal. So there weren't a ton
Elite
of people
eight.
There. It was a big deal.
The whole city shuts down when UK plays. I mean, my best friend is here in town, and she's from Kentucky. And Friday night, we didn't do anything. I did stuff. I was messing around with the computer. She actually sat down to watch the game, and I hear screaming from the other room, and it's like out of control. And then the fact that they won meant we had to be home by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday. So beautiful day, sunny, 70 degrees in Phoenix, and what does she do in the middle of the day? Sit down and watch a basketball game. I'm like, why are we inside? It's gorgeous. Oh, basketball.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that there were not that many people at the rodeo Monday night or Sunday afternoon.
Well, yeah, it was tough because they were competing with the UK basketball game and Ice Capades.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go. Now, that's a kid magnet, Ice Capades.
That's true.
Yeah,
I'm like, Ice Capades. I didn't know I didn't even know they did that anymore.
I didn't either. I didn't either. But it was a great time. I think the final score for the event for the entire evening is the Bovine took the game by a landslide. In almost every division, the cows won.
I find it entertaining to go to a rodeo and cheer on the cattle.
Well, that's what we did.
I'm telling you, I'm sorry. I know lots of people rope, and I just find that roping is a little it just looks uncomfortable for
it's
the poor cow, obviously.
Yeah.
It's unsettling to me, and so anytime they miss, you know, the steer wrestling, or they go to rope the horse's head or heels and they miss, we're like, woohoo! I was at the Wyoming rodeo and had the whole crowd cheering for the cow.
Yeah.
It's like, that one got away! Yay!
But I thought it was funny. One of them, and I forget, was it the wrestling or the roping? I don't remember which one it was. And they have different size cows for each class. And having owned calves that size, they're really naughty, and you really want to do that to them. So I'm okay with the cowboys doing that because they're naughty. But anyway, the one little calf, they put them in the little chute, and it's got this fancy design so that the calf gets a head start. The cowboys daren't leave the chute until the calf gets a certain distance away. The calf wouldn't leave the chute.
Oh, that's great.
And then the calf went so slow once he did leave the chute, the cowboys outran him.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So he had
because
it figured
usually
out.
They cattle prod them to get him out of there, which is another thing that I don't really love. So that's great that he just sat there. That's funny.
Well, it was funny because the cowboy in the chute there, he just had one. It's kind of like that picture we have on the website of Glenn sitting on the donkey statue, and I'm pushing the donkey statue. The cowboy was standing there with both of his hands on the little cow's butt, just pushing him.
Oh, my gosh.
It was awesome. And the cow, like, trots out. The cowboys take off like a bat out of you-know-where and then leave the cow behind. So the cow's won.
Oh, that's funny.
Great.
Okay,
Glenn, you can talk now.
Glenn, are you there?
He's not here.
Glenn's even here. Did he leave?
No, he didn't leave. Let me hit this button over here. Glenn, are you here? Hello, Glenn.
I'm here. I couldn't take myself off of hold for some reason. So thank you for doing that. I was actually sitting here talking to you guys, not realizing I wasn't even on the air. So
you're like, why are they ignoring
us? I thought the highlight, and I was just listening to you guys talk about the rodeo. I thought the highlight of the rodeo was definitely Rockin' Robbie. He was funny. The clown we had on last week, he was good. He was funny. And I didn't get a chance until after the rodeo was over to go over and meet him and talk about Elvis. So we didn't get to hear him sing Elvis. But he was funny. He was definitely the entertainment of the night. It would have been boring without Rockin' Robbie there, for sure.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad he did great. but you guys, we had a crazy topic come up. Oh, by the way, before we get to the topic, I wanted to tell you guys I did a thing on Friday where one of my friends is an equine ophthalmologist, which is so specialized it's crazy. But apparently there are animal ophthalmologists, and she is one now.
Hasn't she been on the show before? Didn't we have her on the show?
We didn't. We talked about eyeballs, but we talked about having her on, but then thehorse.com did an eyeball segment. So we're going to have to get her on shortly because the knowledge that this woman has is amazing. She asked me to bring a couple horses over because they were doing a study and trying to teach some upcoming ophthalmologists how to pass their board. So she looks for interesting colors of horses and horses with interesting eye problems. Well, I happen to have a paint, an Appy, and a blind one-eyed Palomino. So she's like, bring them all. So I actually took them down to another farm, and they got examined by all these vets. And, you know, my one-eyed Palomino actually has two eyes, but what she describes it as is it looks like he got – have you guys seen the movie Goonies?
No.
Do you remember that movie? Okay, there's like Sloth in the Goonies. If you just Google Sloth and Goonies – that's a character in the movie, and my horse kind of looks like that on half of his head. He apparently, it's due to trauma, the reason that he has an eyeball, but it's actually in and down a little bit. It's happened a long time ago. It's definitely not attractive. But his other side, he's very cute, and he's a very good boy. And we took him to the study. And clearly he's blind in that eye, and they were examining that eye. And then they went over to the other eye. And I didn't understand a word they were saying because they were talking like eyeball vet speak, and so I had no clue. Like the degenerative this, of the caudal this, and blah, blah, blah. I was clueless. But basically I said, what does that mean? Translate what you just said about his good eye. So the horse has a bad eye and a good eye. Apparently his good eye is not very good anymore.
he's got a half an eye, basically.
He's got about half an eye now. And she said that what he's doing, riding around in the arena, giving lessons to kids, is totally fine. But apparently the good eye is at about 50%. So poor little Will, our little Craigslist rescue horse, has half an eye, but the other two came out, you know, beautifully. So the other two horses are totally fine. But it was interesting to learn just that much about horses' eyeballs, and there's like a whole language for horses' eyeballs. But we at least found out that, you know, he's at least half good in one eye, but it was a little bit depressing. But anyway, that was my weekend. It was a long story. We talked about my best friend coming in town, and it's just been a horsey weekend. We trail rode. We got on the horses because somebody told us there was a restaurant about an hour and a half ride through the desert. So our neighbors packed up their horses. Chad got on his horse. Nancy got on. I got on a horse, and we all rode out into the desert to find this restaurant. Well, when we got to the restaurant, we're all starving. I mean, we left at noon. It's like 1:30 in the afternoon. We've been riding through the desert. We're hot. We're sweaty. We get to this building that's supposed to be a restaurant, Glenn. It's a freaking library. There was no food. They seriously were like, we have a vending machine if you'd like, you know, some crackers.
Okay, so what's a library doing out in the middle of freaking nowhere is my question.
I have no idea. There's a park that goes into the mountains, and apparently at the entrance of this park is a building. Everybody told us it was a restaurant. They're like, we've even heard people tell us that they have really good food. Apparently their Cheetos in their vending machine are good, because that's all we got out of it was a Coke and a Cheetos as we all held our horses. You know, I had to hold three horses while they ran in to put their quarters in the slot to get stupid Cheetos out of the vending machine, because we're starving to death because we rode through the desert for an hour and a half, and there was no restaurant.
Which means you had to ride an hour and a half home.
Yes. Yeah. But this
are you sure you're directionally challenged? Are you sure you guys went the right way in the desert?
We went to the right place. We totally went to the same place, and we have a friend or two that are in trouble because they told us that we could go eat there, and they're in trouble. But that leads me to talk about the favorite things that horses eat, because, like I said, I got Cheetos out of the vending machine, and I think my horse ate more Cheetos than I did.
See, there you go. And that leads us into, oh, my God, we had more response to that question we put out the other day on what your horses eat than anything else we've done on the show in the last 4 months. We had over 60 responses between Facebook and Twitter. It was just incredible. You want to hear some of them, Jamie? Jennifer was kind enough to actually...
Let's talk about the fact that we mentioned this, because on Zenyatta's blog, she had a very clean ultrasound, and then she said she was going to go eat some bananas and pears. And I didn't know the horses like bananas, and so we threw out, what are the crazy things your horses eat? And Jennifer compiled the list of our listener responses.
And she was so kind to actually put them in categories for us. So, and I just posted this on Facebook, too. We made the list and posted it on Facebook. So if you want to share that on your pages with your horsey friends, we'd encourage you to do that. And we titled it The Crazy Things Our Listeners' Horses Eat. So, you know, we're not going to go through all of them because there's a ton of them, but I want to just go through some unusual ones. Under fruit and other healthy items, watermelon rind, bananas, we had a lot of bananas, so I guess, you know, Zenyatta's not alone in that. Mesquite pods, which I have don't even know what that is. I think they come off of trees. Strawberry tops. I can see strawberries. They're very sweet, you know. You can see strawberries.
Yeah.
Cherry tomatoes. Now, I thought I had heard in the past that tomatoes were bad for horses. Am I wrong about that?
I've never heard that tomatoes are bad for horses. But I do know that the mesquite pods out here cause problems, because on the mesquite trees, it's one thing that grows in the desert, and the pods fall down into the horse's pasture, and the horses eat them and then colic, because they love these mesquite pods, but they just eat just buckets of them at the same time. So that can be a problem.
Well, you know what?
They
should have Tums after they eat the mesquite pods, because that's one of the others in the healthy category that people feed. You know what I got a couple of was grapes. Apparently grapes are very popular, and I can see why. They're sweet, I guess. Now we get into the odd ones in the fast food category. So French fries. French fries seem to be very popular, especially McDonald's. Did you notice a trend through all of the fast food categories, Jamie? French fries, Big Macs, you know, things, hamburgers, Egg McMuffin, McDonald's seem to be a threat here. I don't know if that says more about our listeners or their horses. I'm not sure which.
Well, see, that's the funny thing, too. You're right. Like, I think that if all of these horses are eating all of these horrible for them foods, that means our listeners are eating those. So when you carry your Big Mac... You guys need to eat healthier. My God. You know, we don't stop by McDonald's for our horse, okay? We stop by for ourselves. So when you people are shoving those French fries down your face and you're following it up with, you know, a Big Mac, you're not doing yourself a favor by sharing it with your horse. That's. I mean, I know that's half the calories, but don't do that to your horse. You guys need to eat better. That's all I'm saying. Wait till we get to the candy. My God.
The ones in this category that I found funny were Chinese food and spaghetti. And the reason I found that funny was you could just see the horse slurping the spaghetti noodles, you know, into his mouth. You could just see that picture. That's like right out of Thelwell, you know. It's just, you can see the comic right now. I can just picture that. Pepperoni pizza, I thought, was a little odd, too, in that category.
And that
beverages
is
of all kinds, Jamie. Jeez, every soda pop, apparently horses like soda pop of all kinds. Sweeter the better, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Sprite was a favorite of my old thoroughbred. But you know what? Somebody brought on that desert ride that we all did not have lunch on. The one thing that they did have packed in their cooler was Bud Light for the ride home, of course, and their saddlebags. And I actually attempted as a science experiment to give my horse Bud Light. He does not like it. He likes Guinness. Okay, he doesn't drink the cheap stuff apparently.
Well, that's true, I think, of most horses. They don't like cheap stuff. I noticed Red Bull was on here, and, you know, there are a few horses that we've owned in over our life that we wish would have drank Red Bull because they were just a little pokey. So, you know, Red Bull would probably help in some cases. You know, how about the hard stuff beer was on there. Frozen margaritas I thought were interesting. Candy, you're right. Boy, oh, boy, candy.
Okay, on the list was Marshmallow Peeps. People actually buy Marshmallow Peeps? Really? Those nasty little, like, marshmallow dyed candy.
Hey, 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 you're getting a little close to home here. Just be careful there.
You like Peeps?
Jennifer loves
Peeps.
Jennifer loves Peeps. We always get Peeps at Easter time.
Gotta be the pink Peeps.
Pink Peeps are better.
Oh, my God.
Well, we had a funny one over the weekend. One of the girls that went to, her name is Cass, that went to the rodeo with us the other night. We were talking about this topic of what horses eat, and she said her horse loves candy canes but won't eat the curly end, will only eat the flat part, just will not eat. She said even if she breaks the curly end up, he won't eat it. It's only the flat part.
Really?
Yes, I thought that was kind of a quirk. But all kinds of candy, sweet tarts, pixie sticks, butterscotch candies, which I don't know why anybody eats butterscotch candy. Sour Patch Kids, Sour Spray, just went on and on and on. Salty junk food, peanut butter crackers. Now, we did have horses that would eat peanut butter. Pickles, I thought, was odd. But you said you had a horse that eats pickles.
My horse will eat a pickle right now. He loves pickles. Loves, loves, loves pickles.
Does it
He'll
have
eat
to be a
anything
pickle?
That's tart. You know what? I've never had a sweet pickle anywhere near me, so he's never had one. So only dill. I should try to give him some that are stuck in the fridge, though.
Jamie, the peep lovers are coming out. You better watch it because now they're posting on Facebook. Sarah posted, "I love peeps," so you're going to get peeped
closet
out here
peep
today.
Eaters.
I think the peep eaters are going to come out of the woodwork to take you down. Miscellaneous junk food, brownies, Oreo cookies, Boston cream pie. Wouldn't that be a little messy for a horse to eat Boston cream pie?
I would not share my Boston cream pie. Oh, that's so delicious.
It's making me hungry.
Totally weird. Dog food. That's totally weird.
I had one of those.
Yeah.
My horse ate dog food.
Gross.
Yeah.
Okay, the grossest one on the whole list, and I'm sorry for you tobacco chewers out there, but tobacco? Chewing tobacco? Hello? Like we're not killing our horses anyway?
No, actually, tobacco, if it's growing wild, horses will just eat the plants. And it was an old, I don't know if you call it wives' tale, we used to have people that would feed their horses tobacco as a anti-parasite to get rid of worms.
Yeah, Glenn, they're not smoking it, okay? Smoking it, they're just eating it.
I just
think
had
a little
picture
different.
Of them chewing tobacco and spitting into a cup. Yeah, I just had this picture of them spitting into a cup. I don't know. That was what went through my mind. So that's kind of why I had a problem with tobacco. PB&J, well, I can understand how that happens because we all bring PB&J to shore shows. Bologna sandwich, we're not sure if it had mayo or mustard on it. And a lantern. Apparently that was unsuccessful. A gas lantern was unsuccessful. So it was quite a list, and you can find it on Facebook, and you go ahead and share it with your friends. Thank you for everybody for participating in that. We appreciate you playing along there. What a response we got.
I would like to say, Sarah, and, you know, you love your peeps or whatever, go ahead and get your little dental floss ready. Go ahead and set that appointment after Easter for the dentist, because you are going to have some scrapings done, my friend. That is going to be the worst food ever. Peeps are disgusting. Do you know what would happen if you microwaved a peep?
Doesn't it just melt?
I don't know what it does, but I know it does something funny. I'm going to Google that. I'm going to Google microwave a peep and see what happens.
You know what I used to love and I can't eat anymore, speaking of it sticking to your teeth, is, well, there's two things. Captain Crunch cereal. I don't know how anybody can eat Captain Crunch cereal. But also Twizzlers. I used to love Twizzlers. Now I can't eat Twizzlers anymore. So I'm kind of disappointed about the Twizzlers.
Oh, I love Twizzlers. I love Twizzlers. You're right. Okay, so apparently peeps don't do very well in the microwave, but I have to watch a stupid advertisement.
I thought there was something. I do remember something about peeps in the microwave. You're right. Well, while you're Googling that, let's go to our go to Omega Alpha, and then we're going to come back with our first guest. And this guest is designed for Jamie. Once a month, she comes on just to help Jamie. We didn't tell Jamie when we hired her that we were going to have the love doctor, Dr. Jen, come on to help her with Jamie with all of her issues, but that's basically why we have the love doctor on every month. So we're going to be back with the love doctor right after this word from Omega Alpha.
Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And one of their users is international Canadian sensation event rider, Jessica Phoenix. And we have Jessica on here for a second to tell us what she thinks about Omega Alpha. Well, hi, Jess. I hear that you use Omega Alpha.
I do. I love their products. I've started using them this year, and the one product that I really love is Anti-Flam. It just takes the sting out of the horse's feet and keeps them moving comfortably. And I know that from using it in our barn, a lot of horses have benefited from it.
You can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
And we thank Omega Alpha for their continuing support of us at the Horse Radio Network and our show, Horses in the Morning. We appreciate them being part of it. And we had so much to talk about today. We had so many news stories that we're going to bring you a little bit later as well. There were some wacky things. I think what we kind of decided is that on Mondays we're going to allow the last half hour of the show. Janie and Jennifer and I talked about it, for just all the wacky news stories that come out over the weekend. We just didn't have time with all the guests we had on to get to some of the fun news stories. So I think on Mondays from about 10 o'clock on, today Templeton will be calling in for a couple of minutes, but from about 10 o'clock on, we're just going to do the wacky news stories and chat about them from the weekend. Mm-hmm. And we do have some sound clips and things that are very, very interesting. Another sound clip I wanted to tell everybody about before we go to our first guest here is I posted on Facebook over the weekend on the Horses in the Morning page that Boyd Martin, our Best in Breeches, Hottest Horseman Award winner, took a rotational fall over the weekend at Southern Pines Horse Trials and is fine. The horse is fine. And we had a clip from him from the next day. He ended up winning two of his classes. He was riding 10 horses over the weekend at a show. Can you believe that? 10. I know.
No, that's absolutely crazy.
Well, we have a sound clip because it relates to something that Jamie and I did, and we're going to play that a little bit later in the show, too, from Boyd. Exclusive sound, I think. We were the only ones he talked to the next day, and he is fine. I will say that, so you don't have to be in suspense, and the horse is fine, too. But it was apparently a nasty fall. And it was just it wasn't a hard fence. It was just mistiming. He talks about that a little bit in the clip, too, exactly what happened. But why don't you take us into the love, doctor?
Well, apparently we have the segment for me because I'm emotionally challenged. but what's my – yeah, whatever. We're joined by Dr. Jennifer Oakley. She's from Colorado. And, you know, a love doctor relates to, you know, yes, love and relationships, but also the love and relationship with your horse. And so she wants to talk to us today about when we care too much, our horse trains us instead of the other way around. And I don't understand why you keep pointing this at me, Glenn. but good morning, Dr.
I'm
Jenny.
Sure the listeners have no idea why, I'm sure.
Good morning, Dr. Jen.
Good morning.
You know, it's
sorry
just the fact
that
fall.
That's scary, by the way, for Boyd. Yeah, as a fellow
it
eventer,
is, yeah.
That's scary. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a tough weekend for eventing. So it will, you know. No, unfortunately, but he's okay, and we're going to talk a little bit more because he was wearing his .2 air vest, and it saved him, for sure.
Good,
so definitely a great investment for everybody. So I guess today we're talking a little bit about horses training us, and just to give you an overall perspective, first of all, Glenn, you know, you're a regular contributor to Horse Tip Daily, and I think Glenn just passes all this off on me because he's tired of having to break down and cry in front of you on Horse Tip Daily because you break him down a little bit. But I wanted to say that, you know,
it's her turn on the morning show live.
Yeah, it's way more fun that way, I'm sure.
But
we do have a collection of horses, and we've talked a little bit about each of one of them, but there is definitely my one special super horse that has been with me for a long time. And yes, sometimes he may get to do whatever he wants. I want to get your take on what you want to tell everybody.
Well, sure. You know, I think that so many times in our lives we give up our power. We're not standing in our power. And, you know, we talk about success from the barn to the boardroom to the bedroom. And creating success in any of those spheres is about how we show up in the world. And when we show up with our horse and we're not in our power, what happens? What happens with that horse that you actually... Your wife, Glenn, told me that you have a particular horse that that gets away with murder. Is that right?
Me? Not me. Hey, we're talking about Jamie here. Now, how did this get turned around all of a sudden? I'm going to fire her.
I want to hear more about this, Glenn. Glenn, how does your why does your wife?
I have no idea what she's talking about. I have no idea.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, we have a 2-year-old, right? And we are all about love here, and so we love for our ponies to be lap ponies, you know, and in your back pocket ponies. But he was a stud colt when he came, and he was really nippy. And it was really hard for us to set the boundaries, to say, no, you have to stay in your space. It's not okay for you to invade my space. And we didn't really address this consistently because we just wanted to be loving. And so what did we do? We created a little monster who still, a year later after he's been gelded, still wants to be really lippy. And so we're having to backtrack and do the work of standing in our power and saying, no, it's not okay. This is my boundary. That's your boundary. And how often do we not set those boundaries with our horses and in the rest of our lives? And then we get run over, right? Is that what's been happening to you, Jamie? What happens with you and your horse?
You know, I would like to point out that my horse is actually perfect, and he does nothing wrong. So I think we need to turn this around on Glenn, because Glenn, the horse husband, may be letting Beaker get away with a little too much. So go ahead, Glenn, tell us what Jennifer was talking about.
I have no idea. I really don't. I just give him treats, and, you know, we hang out, and... I don't see anything wrong with that. I think it's just fine.
See, the trick is Glenn being the horse husband. He's so clueless, he doesn't even know he's getting run over.
That's right.
Yeah,
see?
It sounds like the horse and the wife are calling the shots here. Is that right?
We teach that. Hey, Dr. Jen, we teach that in Horse Husband 101. The more ignorant you are, the more you can get away with as a horse husband. It just works out for us.
That's true. Just nodding and saying yes, you know, can get you pretty far in a relationship.
That's true. See, with horses or with your wives.
Yeah, all the,
consider
I'll give you,
this
I'll give you an example.
For all five of our guys. No examples.
Glenn is at the barn. Beaker walks up to the fence. Beaker has to wear a muzzle because he has issues with too much grass.
Oh,
all he
muzzle,
has to do is walk over to the fence and hang his head over the fence, and he gives Glenn the look. Aw, Jen, he's starving.
Well, he is. He has to wear that muzzle all the time, and it's depressing. Got to tell you. Depressed about the muzzle.
And so he ends, you know, you're looking at him and you're saying, oh, poor Beaker, So I'm just wondering, here's the thing about coaching with horses. However we treat our horses is how we tend to show up in the rest of our lives. So we would ask Glenn, are there other spaces in his lives where he does that, where he gets suckered in?
How did this get turned around? I think you guys actually planned this ahead of time.
Nobody wants to play with me this morning. You got me out of bed. Somebody has to play.
I think I think we're really getting into Glenn's comfort zone right now.
Do you feel like somebody's a little uncomfortable right now? But that is the point. The point is how we show up with our horses. It's not like we suddenly can be a different person with our horse than we are in real life. And that's why horses can be just beautiful mirrors for helping us clean up all aspects of our lives. Because if we show up sort of all weak and not in our power, not willing to set boundaries because we're afraid that they're not going to like us or that we need to get their approval or we have to please them, then that's how we're showing up in the rest of our relationships. And then if we can look and see how successful that's been for us. So maybe we'll ask Glenn's wife how successful that's been in the relationship with Beaker. Maybe it's working. Maybe he does that with you and it works really nicely.
It works
see?
With me too.
Thank you, Dr. Jen. Appreciate that. I feed her well too. See, I have this thing about feeding. I got that from my mother. And I just like to feed people. And I feed my wife, I feed my horse. And then when they don't get to eat enough, I feel bad. You know, so I get that from my mother, I think. She likes to feed everybody.
You know, it's smart. My husband does the same thing. He brings me home Cadbury mini eggs around this time of year, and he keeps a bag stashed away so that in case I'm having a chocolate moment, he can whip out some chocolate and make sure I stay in a good mood. So maybe
it's like
that
clicker
is
training,
you know,
with Cadbury eggs.
Yeah. Maybe that's the essence of a good horse husband.
Jen, if you'll do this for me, I'll give you a Cadbury egg today.
That's right. See, Glenn, right then you're trying to turn it around on Jen. However, I'm kind of interested in this whole aspect of Glenn treating having his life run by the horse and the wife, and he responds by feeding everything. Is that some kind of interesting psychological thing, Dr. Jen?
Well, the interesting cycle, I'm feeling bad about picking on him, but yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
I'm feeling bad about it,
here.
Too.
The interesting thing here is when he said, well, I feel bad. That's the trigger point, right? So that is really good for you to be aware of, Glenn, because if you're aware of that, in that moment when the guilt creeps up, then you have a choice. You can make a choice in that moment. Am I going to allow the guilt to rule me in a positive way and make a healthy choice? Add more food, gain 10 more pounds. That's the problem with adding my husband bringing home the mini eggs. I've gained 10 pounds, okay? So it's sometimes not that helpful that he always has a treat for me to keep me happy. So
more
the question
love.
Is...
So wait a minute. So Dr. Jen, what you're saying is that it's bad for me to go out to the bar, sneak out to the barn, rather, and take his muzzle off for a day at a time when Jennifer's not looking and I know she's not going back out. That's bad, then. Is that what you're saying?
Well, especially in the spring when he might founder, you know, with all that rich grass. Yeah, if you're driven by that guilt and you make a decision that's unhealthy for you and unhealthy for the horse, for instance, usually when we're not setting up our boundaries or we're not being in power, we're really making a decision that's not ultimately best for the horse or for ourselves. And maybe Jamie, do you have an example of when things don't go well with your horse because you're really not standing in your power? And we're not talking about power over other people, by the way, you guys. We're talking about power with, you know?
Yeah.
If we...
Oh, sure.
Our horse doesn't want us to show up and be powerful over them. He wants us to just show up and be a powerful partner with him. Because somebody has to be the leader, right? It's either going to be him or you. Well, somebody has to be the leader.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. And a lot of times, you know, when we're so wrapped up in what's going on in our day and what happened at work or what happened at school, and we go to the barn and we're still in that moment, then I don't think we're in our power, Dr. Jen. That's when I think accidents happen. That's when bad training happens, is you're not in the moment with your horse. And see, that's what I love about horses, is it takes you out of the rest of the real world and puts you in the moment with the horse. But sometimes that can get a little bit reversed. And I think that's when the kind of bad stuff happens. That's when the horses learn to bite. That's when the horses, you know, you get hurt doing stuff. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, listening to that, I think sometimes, yeah, we get to the barn and we don't want to have to be the leader, right? It's like, oh, God, I've been leading the rest of my life, and I need a break from having to be the leader. I just want to relax here, and that can cause problems. Yeah, we just had, I call them play shops. We do these workshops with the horses. And here's this pushy Arab and with this woman who's not in her power, and she's not willing to set a boundary. And he is sort of jamming his head into her stomach. And she doesn't want to offend him, you know. So she's not telling him, no, that's not appropriate. You know, and the question is, well, where else are you doing that in your life? You're letting people run over you because you need them to like you. You want to please them. And so you're not setting an appropriate boundary. Or we had another guy.
Yeah.
I could not believe this. The horse was nipping him, and I actually could see the skin, his skin in the horse's teeth. And his reaction was not to set a boundary because he's so used to other people abusing him and not taking him for granted that he felt it was okay to have his flesh between the horse's teeth. Now, most horse people,
gosh.
You know, aren't going to go that far, right? Most people, horse people, aren't going to go that far. But we all do it to one degree or another where we're not paying attention in the moment, and then we're afraid to set a boundary because we're going to offend somebody or we're going to offend our horse.
Right.
One of my favorites is when, you know, especially the biting one or a horse that stays inside your space too much, political correctness comes to play because we're all so afraid of being accused of being mean or abusing our horses, that the alternative is to just let them walk all over you.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to be the tyrant, right? And that happens in our lives, too. Like, we don't want to be the person who upsets other people. We don't want to be the bitch, you know?
Yeah.
But, right, we don't. So we hold back and we don't stand in our power. We don't say what we need. And in this case, we need you to get out of our space. And I had a client here who didn't have very much horse training. And again, she was in that space that she is in her real life of not wanting to offend other people. And so I had to remind her that when the horses in the herd, how do the horses decide who's the leader? You guys know, right? How do they decide who's the leader?
Well, one will put the ears back at the other one and go, if you don't, I'm going to bite you. And then the smart other horse says, oh, I'm going to move then. Yeah.
Yes. They move them around. And when the one doesn't listen to the one who's trying to move him, what does the one in power do?
Bite.
Leader of
can't
the
bite them.
Yes. He ups his energy until the other one finally listens. And I think in life that's what happens. We're afraid to up our energy until we get respected. And when we come to our horse, we're doing the same thing. We're afraid to offend him. But all we need to do is ask ourselves, what would the alpha do here? Well, the alpha would keep upping his energy until he was effective.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that means I have to bite you once, because if I bite you once, you're probably going to get the message, and then I'll never have to bite you again.
Well, I think, too, think about it, I wonder, too, maybe it's just me thinking this, but I think that people are a little less, they're a little less apt to do corrections when they're at a boarding stable and there's a bunch of other people around. It's sort of like disciplining your child at the grocery store. You know, it needs to be done, but it's very uncomfortable. Do you guys think that that's true, too?
That's a great analogy. You don't want to be the one, oh, my God, they just sit there and beat their horse, you know. But you have to establish space. Now, you don't have to hit your horse in the face or anything like that, my gosh. I think what is Dr. Jen's main point is that you have to have that power within and stand up, and your attitude and your energy a lot of times can be the discipline. Am I right?
I think you nailed it right there, Jamie, it's energy versus physical contact. They're two different things.
Exactly. The horses read our energy. So especially once we have set the initial boundary, if they're used to walking over it, that first initial boundary might be a little uglier than we would like it to be. But then after that, we don't ever have to go there again. And so it's kind of like the kid in the grocery store. If you're setting your boundaries at home, then you can go out in public and it works. Your kids behave well. But if you're not ever setting the boundary at home.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I come home, Jennifer has that energy, and I know that I'm not allowed to do anything. So it's just like that. Yeah. There's no fighting needed. We don't need to bite each other or anything. I just know.
No. She already set that boundary. You know, and it's funny. My husband trained me really early on. He said, listen, by the way, it's never okay to raise your voice with me. It's never okay. And that was his boundary,
really?
Right? And that would be like the boundary with the two-year-old. It is never okay to come over here and bite me. And every time I raised my voice in an emotional moment, he would just look at me and say, that's not okay, right? And immediately I would say, you're right, it's not okay. So when we're constantly consistent with our horses and the people in our lives, my two-year-old gets the message, it's really never okay to walk up and bite Jen. But if I'm not consistent, he thinks, well, maybe now's a good time. Let me try that. Because he thinks it's a game, right? He's having loads of fun.
Right.
Seeing when is it okay. Yeah. If we say it's never okay, after about the tenth time, he's learned, okay, it's never okay. That game's no longer fun anymore. So it's really about consistently setting our boundaries and just saying, what's okay for me? This isn't okay. This is okay. It's like that for all the people in our lives. Yeah, and it's when we get inconsistent that people get confused and then start trying to press the buttons and the boundaries.
Yeah, and you're right. Setting those boundaries I think it definitely makes horses and children more comfortable. They don't have to fight against the boundaries because they know what they are, and it makes for a happier child, makes for a happier relationship, and as always, you are pretty much on target. I'm sorry that neither one of us wanted to participate and talk bad about ourselves and our horses, and we didn't want to play with you today. But I think we need to get some listeners on here that maybe have relationship issues with their horses and try to figure that out. And for the next time, you know, I have a problem with making excuses, Dr. Jen, because I have a formerly abused rescue starvation case that is here now. And I think that I constantly make excuses for him. Because I'm like, oh, but he had such a bad life before. So definitely put that on the radar for next time, because I have to know if what I'm doing is, like, okay or not okay. So I'll play with you next time. I'm sorry.
Okay. That sounds good. In the meantime, you can be asking yourself, are there other places in my life where I make excuses for the people in my life to, say, treat me badly? You know, are there other places I do that?
Yeah, interesting. I will. That sounds good. Sounds good. Now, of course, people can find you and ask questions and contact you at your website, happilyeverafterranch.com. They can check that out and find out, you know, seminars that you're doing. Do you have anything coming up?
We do an equine-assisted coaching play shop every month. And so, yeah, usually the third Saturday of every month, we play with the horses and we see how we can bring success from the barn to the boardroom to the bedroom. Because as we're talking here, the same skills that we apply to our horses are the same skills for the rest of our lives. And so we have a lot of fun doing that every month.
Well, great. HappilyEverAfterRanch.com. Dr. Jen, thank you so much for being on. I know it's early. It's Monday. We really appreciate it. You coming on the show with us.
Thanks, Dr. Jen.
Thanks, Glenn. It's always fun to laugh with you guys. Have a great week.
All right, bye.
She meant at you.
Bye-bye.
She meant at you, by the way.
Yeah, I think she did, actually.
Bye.
And I want to clarify one thing, Jennifer. I never do go out and take his muzzle off because our barn manager would tell on me. So I can't even get away with that. See, all these women in my life, it is that whole controlling thing, and it's not the horse, it's me. See, I'm just trying to get people to feel sorry for me right now. But I don't think it's probably working,
well,
is it?
I think that muzzle has little slats on it, and I think you shove treats up in between the slats of the muzzle. Here, Beaker, here's a carrot, and you shove it up.
How did you know that?
Okay.
How did you know
that? How did you know that, anyway?
He may not take it off.
Today's song is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only iPhone application that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, including vaccines, wormings, farrier, and dentist visits, together and easily accessible. You can also track weight and get reminders of important events like the vaccines and the wormings and the farrier visits and all those things that you need to get reminders for as well. You can find Pocket Stable in the App Store on your iPhone or visit them at PocketStable.com. Well, today's daily song is off of Templeton Thompson's new CD. Just came out over the weekend. It's called That's Just Me. And the song is called Make the Best of It. And we're going to have Templeton on. She's supposed to be calling in about 10 o'clock today. So we're looking forward to talking to her in a little bit about her new CD. And we can get off of picking on me and picking on Templeton maybe soon. Anyway, make the best of it.
You got a lot to be thankful for. You got a lot going your way. Life's a struggle, that's for sure. Yeah, it's a giant leap of faith. You got a plan and you hold on. Baby, open up your eyes. If you hop that train, you might miss the boat. Thank you.
That is Templeton Thompson, who's going to join us in just a couple minutes to talk about her new CD. We love her so much. She's so great. But, Glenn, did you happen to see the video I posted on Facebook?
I didn't watch it, but should I watch it?
Well, just hit play and then just fast forward to about the middle after, like, 10 seconds in the microwave, what happens to the peeps in the basket.
All right,
it's pretty
horrific. These are peeps. These are little peeps, not real peeps. Marshmallow peeps.
Three
in a basket,
marshmallow peeps. Mm-hmm.
In the microwave. This is what we were talking about earlier in the show. What happens to peeps in a basket in the microwave? Oh, my God.
Dude, I'm telling you.
It expands to about 20 times their normal size. And they're all coming out the holes of the back. Oh, that's gross.
That's pretty nasty. So,
it's like a volcano.
So you people eat that stuff. That is just weird. It is just weird. So enjoy the
no
3 peeps
in
the basket video. Yeah, no chemicals in there
God,
at all.
It keeps growing and growing. That's funny. You have to check that out on Facebook.
Yes, that's you feeding your horses, those people. So, well, I
really
tell you guys,
I really didn't think they'd grow that much. I really didn't think they'd grow that much.
Imagine
that's
what
a lot of gross
stomach. Mm-hmm. Hey, on a side note, I have to tell you, I know you're watching the peeps video, but try to pay attention.
Okay.
The Rachel Alexandra Fan Day actually happened over the weekend. This is really cool. I did not know they did this because I was not a Facebook fan of Rachel Alexandra. But apparently, all our Facebook fans, you got a chance to sign up back in February to go visit Rachel Alexandra at Stone Street Farm in Lexington, Kentucky. And they had an entire day where 25 people got to come out and meet Rachel Alexandra. They got to take pictures with her. They got to get her treats. They got to, there's pictures of them, people snuggling with her, like hugging her neck, which is just unheard of for a horse, horse race to do that. So that was very cool. That article is on the Blood Horse, and they've got a link to a blog where one of the people went and got to go see that. And also, they have pictures up of Rachel Alexandra's sister. Bull sister was just born about a week ago. So there's like a mini Rachel Alexandra coming up as well.
I think that is so cool. And I think it's so neat how the racing industry now, and I think this is coming from the owners, to be honest with you. We've got some cool owners who are coming up now saying, look, I have to make my horse into a brand to help, you know, make racing better. And that's what they're really doing. They're making their horses into a brand. And, you know, I tell you, it's about darn time that we make these horses the celebrities that they should be.
Oh, I see. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's so exciting that social media is so it's so inviting for people to have a Facebook page for their horse. It's easy. It's a great way to connect with the fans. And I mean, look at us. We do half our show is because of Facebook, and we get to post things that we're looking at immediately, and people get to go look on it and like it. So I think it's really, really awesome that she's embraced that. Mucho Macho Man has a Facebook page. Of course, Zenyatta has a Facebook page, and Uncle Mo has a Facebook page. So I just think it's really neat.
That's cool. Hey, Jamie, we got one of our favorite people on the phone right now, and that's Templeton Thompson. Hi, Tempe.
Hola. How you doing this morning? You too.
Good.
Great.
Thank
awesome.
You so
rock
much.
Stars.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. We're so excited every time that you get to call in. We just played a song off your new CD. Your new CD's called That's Just Me, and we played the best, or Make the Best of It, which
cool.
after the last segment we had was good for me to hear Make the Best of It. But
okay. I'm sorry, but babe, it's all good, right?
I got to listen to your CD this morning while I was doing the show prep, and I just love this new one. It takes a little bit different route for you, I think. don't you? Why'd you do this one? And what? Tell everybody what's a little bit different about it.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, you know, I had one of those like light bulb moments yesterday when I went. I said to Sam, I'm like, you know, this album, I don't think it has the first. It doesn't have the first horsey song on it. There's one reference.
I know.
And it's just me, you know, song to "I'll Be the Dark Horse." You bet. So a little tip of the old hat to beautiful racehorses like beautiful Miss Zenyatta and all those gorgeous babies, and of course who just holds my heart and will forever, Mr. Barbaro, and who's forever running. And you know, so there's always a little bit of a reference, and I could pretty much tell you in every song, oh, well, this means horses to me. But Sam, you know, my husband Sam always kind of goes, okay, everything doesn't have to be about horses. It's okay. If everything is not about horses, I'm like, that's not true. It's not true. But anyway, you know, what I say in the description of that digital album is these are songs that recorded fairly recently and then ones that seem like we recorded them eons ago, and that's really true. That's just me. We wrote... what is this, 2011? That would have been, my first publishing deal was in 95, 6, it would have been about 96 or 97 that we wrote and recorded that song, something like that.
Wow.
So, you know, some of those songs, so really the inspiration of it was we are very blessed that we have written a lot of songs because, as y'all know, Sam and I have been professional songwriters for a very long time, and up until about 7 years ago, we were paid to write songs with different publishing companies. And otherwise, those songs, they're just going to kind of sit there and never be heard. And I'm real proud, you know, and grateful to have written those songs and recorded them. So we want them to have a life. So that's really, in a nutshell, the long story, endless version of why the album is what it is, you know. And we're gonna keep doing that because we're blessed to have a lot of songs from, you know, years ago, and then ideally, hopefully, we're writing new stuff all the time, which we're trying to, and making sure we're putting those out there, because I'd love them to be heard, and I'm grateful
so
for them.
Tempe, first of all, let me say that I, too, have heard from my husband a million times, it doesn't all have to be about horses. I'm like, yes, it does.
Oh, yes.
When you said that, I was like, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that, I'd be a gazillionaire. Because, yeah, it doesn't all have to be about horses. But he understands that it kind of, you know, in the long run, it really does. But when you're talking about this CD coming out, this is almost like the title is called That's Just Me. And I feel like you're saying this is like a resurrection of songs that you wanted to get out there as a kind of a compilation of different times in your life. I like the title. And is that why you named it That's Just Me?
That is. That's exactly why. It just kind of made sense, you know. Here I am, good, bad, whatever, you know. I hope you dig it. But, you know, whether you dig it or not, this is what it is, and that's just me. And so, you know, obviously, I hope people dig it. But I don't know. I guess there's an authenticity to that, you know, and what that says. And here I am. And I'm all about people being real and just being honest and being themselves and no airs, you know. I'm not really, the whole ego thing is like, yeah, whatever. So I just feel blessed to get to do what I do. So, yeah, that's really it. You summed it up for me beautifully, Miss Gorgeous, Beautiful Cowgirl,
well,
Amy. You're so smart.
Well, no, I'm interested, too, when you hear these songs, and you know, I think I've written like 6 songs my entire life, and Glenn
awesome.
Heard me play guitar on the air the other day, and, you know, they're silly, but when I play one of those songs, it takes me back to the time that I wrote that, and you feel
right.
The emotions that you felt, you know, whatever that was that made you put that pen to that paper kind of comes out, and then every time I play one of those songs, it takes me exactly back to that spot. So when you said you a song from 1997, when you listen to that or you record it or you play it live, does it take you back to that too, or is it just kind of a fresh start for you?
It takes me back, and it makes me smile because I'm proud of that girl I was even back then. You know what I mean? I guess it's neat to listen to that song now and go, I'm not the same girl I was exactly back then, but I'm glad that girl all those years ago, you know, because that feels like a
It really does feel like eons ago, knew who she was even then, you know? And I really know who I am now. So it's neat that that song still fits, but I'm different, obviously. We all grow and we're always learning. But, you know, there's a song on there called Rebel. It's a song that our buddies, Little Texas, Porter Howell, we co-wrote that with him, and they recorded it and did their amazing version of it. You know, and that song's kind of the wild child song. So I guess also this album is kind of to show, you know, I'm crazy about horses, cowgirl. I love horses, like, more than I love breathing. And they are like breathing to me, you know. But there's also, yeah, you know, so I can do a song like Girls and Horses, and then I can sing a song like Rebel that, you know, is a little more raucous.
Tempe.
Yeah.
Let's just give a little example, because I almost fell off my ball when I was listening to this morning. So
yeah,
it was
okay.
not the Tempe that I was used to. Here we go. This is a little bit of Little Rebel. Let me see if I can get the play here.
Calling all you hippies and outlaws, calling all you suits and ties, calling all you prim and proper, got a little wild time trapped inside, calling all you cops and robbers.
The thing is, I absolutely love that song. I think it's one of their best, actually.
Glenn, I'll tell you why you love that song, because, my God, could you not hear Carrie Underwood singing that at the Grammys?
Yes.
Holy
moly.
Oh,
I love the way you sing, Jamie. Oh, man. Oh, put that out in the universe. That sounds good to me. Oh, man.
Oh,
come
that
on,
would
Carrie.
Be awesome.
That is a hit song in the making. I really do think it's a hit song in the making right there.
Thank you. You are so sweet. And, hey, you know, speaking of, if you want to hear a different version, I'll have to post a link of Little Texas's version, because it's, like, so fun to hear different people's interpretations of songs. And the cool thing is, even though Porter is a, you know, a third writer on it with me and Sam, it's our song, and I do it different, he does it different, and I love that about songwriting. I love different takes. It would be amazing, yes, to hear Carrie Underwood's version. If you're listening, Carrie, come on.
That paycheck wouldn't hurt.
Arena. Come on in a tractor.
I got a question for you, and this is just a curiosity question. Do you watch American Idol?
Oh, yes, I follow it religiously.
Oh, do you?
I totally
okay,
do.
Okay, see, I can't. Jamie doesn't watch it, so we can't talk about American Idol here on the show, because she doesn't watch it, and it's just be me talking about it. But Jennifer and I watch it. You know, I wasn't sure going into this year, and I know we probably have some American Idol fans out there, and I know we have the ones that are rolling their eyeballs right now going, goodbye, you're not talking about American Idol.
Yeah.
But I don't care. It's my show. So now let me ask you. I was a little concerned with the new judges this year, with J-Lo and, you know, with Steven Tyler and everything. And
right.
I love it. I love it
I
this
do too.
Year.
I do, too. Oh, my God, Steven Tyler. Oh, I mean, icon. And J-Lo, she's great. She's so cool. And
she is very, very good. I was expecting a ditzy blonde. And, boy, you don't get that from her.
I bet she's one heck of a businesswoman. I can just imagine. And of course, I love watching that. And I don't, you know, it's for an entertainment factor, of course. But it's fun to see all the talent. I mean, it's almost overwhelming. You know, you think about, it's just a different time since they started the show. It's a whole different time since when I entered the music business in 92 in Nashville. I mean, you know, you think about what Idol has done and, you know, and it's kind of made the competition step up, because these young kids, that's what's, like, bizarre to me. I mean, and I hate to say who my favorites are, just because I know everyone has favorites. I think they're all amazing in their own rights, you know.
Cough it up.
Oh, who are my favorites? Okay, well, it has, like, James. Is it James Durbin, the rocker? Love, love James. Just love him. And is it Lauren, honey, our Georgia girl? Love Lauren. Love
well,
Lauren.
You know,
and
you
then,
gotta think that the who's the kid, the country kid with the voice that's unbelievable. You gotta believe that he's the next big star out of Nashville.
Who the on the show?
Yes, on the show. The one that the younger kid that looks Jennifer. Do you remember his name? The one that sings the country with the deep voice.
I don't know
anybody.
Terrible.
Scotty. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, it's amazing. He'll wind up with a deal. The way that, you know, because it is interesting when you talk about Carrie Underwood. I don't know much about that show, obviously, but just by watching it. But, I mean, it's been a platform. I actually wrote with an Idol, top 10 Idol contestant. Let me think. What season was she on? Season 7? A really
What's
talented
your name?
Young woman. Christy Lee Cook. Do you remember Christy Lee Cook?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Christy Lee.
Yeah.
We love Christy Cook.
She's amazing. What a talented young woman. And I got to write with her and her roommate the other day. And, you know, it was just interesting because, I mean, look at all the amazing. Not only, I guess, we didn't talk a lot about Idol, but, you know, she obviously went on the top 10 tour. And then all the things that have happened for her because of that show. I always watch it, and when someone gets, you know, voted off, I go, they're going to be all right. Because something's going to happen. Something's going to happen.
Right.
They're going to, if they're really, you know, and some of them are so young, you know, I go, okay, being so young and say 15, 16, let's say they do, you know, get voted off or whoever, you know, are they at a point in their lives to parlay, you know, where someone maybe more like 20, 25 has maybe a business brain kind of going. But I don't know. I'm thinking these 15, 16 year olds, shoot, they got it. They got YouTube. I mean, they could.
Okay, Tempe, isn't Christy
Lee
Cook?
Yeah.
Isn't Christy Lee Cook the one who sold her horse to go audition?
Yeah, I think she did. We didn't talk a whole lot about that, but she's horse crazy. She's eat up. She apparently, God, Glenn, I didn't know this. She was at Leg. I had no idea.
Oh, really?
They were all there. Yeah, she was there. She's friends with, what is the gentleman's name? The other Australian horseman, not Guy, not our buddy. Amazing, the amazing rock star Guy McLean, but Double Dan?
Oh, Craig Thompson?
She's friends with Dan. I never met him, but she's eat up with horses, so that's a good, I mean, I know you already knew that, Jamie, but yeah, she's crazy about horses. She'd probably be a blast to have on the show at some point.
Yeah, well, you have a contact. We'll have to get her on.
Yeah, I can help you with that. She's a sweetie, and so real talented, but yeah, so I totally follow it, because I love hearing amazing talent. And Pia.
Now, do you watch it critically?
Awesome.
Are you critically thinking through their songs as they're singing and go, oh, that's awful, this is good? Or do you sit back and enjoy it?
I try to honestly sit back and enjoy it because, honestly, having been in Nashville for so long, I mean, and I forgive me for saying this out loud, but a lot of times if you play in Nashville, it's mostly to a critical audience, you know? I mean, everyone's kind of like thinking, oh, will they fit on this label? Of course, that was, you know, years ago. Now it's different, the three labels that exist now. But, you know, because it's a whole different ballgame. But I try to just enjoy it for the entertainment of it, as opposed to, because it's, you know, I think you can suck the soul right out of something if you just sit there and listen with a critical ear and don't just let it be the art that it is. But then I can't lie and say that, sure, I mean, I have my opinions and stuff. I mean, I'm an opinionated cowgirl, you know, and have been in the business long enough that I'll go, I don't know, okay, maybe not as crazy about that. But, man, last week, you know, she or he was great, you know, and that is interesting to see, too, how people are funny, how they'll vote on you based on, you know, what if you were awesome a week ago, but then maybe the one week where you're sick, you're not, like, at 100%, and, you know, some people it sounds like are really hanging in there, and then others, like, if they mess up a little, they're gone. So I don't know. It's kind of an interesting. It's interesting for me, like a case study in humanness. Do you know what I mean? Like how people are. And yeah.
Well, I don't want to bore everybody with a more American Idol talk, but I will say that I think
too late.
I think they blew it using their using their save last week. I think that was a big mistake. But,
that's just me.
You know, I have a beard, too, but, boy, he needs to trim his beard or something. There's something about him that I just don't like. And that's why American Idol is so popular, because we all like different people.
But they've got artists
tell you what,
on there. That's what's cool.
Tempe, we are running out of time, believe it or not.
Okay.
We've already talked for 20 minutes. It is so much fun every time we have you on the show, and we so appreciate you taking time out to join us. Jennifer will be getting back to you about getting her on the morning show, though. We have to get her on. She's a sweetheart, so it'll be fun.
Oh, Yeah, absolutely.
And I wanted to tell everybody that I have, while we were talking, I uploaded Little Rebel, and we're going to play Little Rebel. We're going to play the show out with Little Rebel today. It's a Monday. Why not rock it out? So at the end of the show today, you want to stay to the end. You'll hear Tempe's Little Rebel. This is Tempe's version of being bad, really bad, which isn't so bad anyway. But
hey, Glenn, can I ask you one favor before we sign out and say goodbye for now? Could I let your listeners know that right now you can go to my website and you can go to the That's Just Me page under the Listen and Download, under my albums pages, and you can download the title track for free, just to go check it out and listen to it. You know, it might be something that they like or don't like, as we're talking about Idol. You know, it's totally up to them, but let them know. TempletonThompson.com and go check it out and download it for free, and it's my little happy spring gift to all your listeners, and I just appreciate you guys having me on. I love you guys.
Well, we appreciate that, and we know that a lot of our listeners have downloaded and bought your music through iTunes and off your website, and now they have an opportunity to get a little more to add to their collection. Thank you, Tempe. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. I love you guys. You're rock stars. Okay, bye.
Right, bye-bye,
love
Tempe.
You, girl.
Thanks. Love you.
Well, you just feel happy after Tempe's on the show, you know? You just, like,
I know.
You have to feel good about your day after you talk to Templeton Thompson. And I don't care if you're doing it. And she's not just that way on the air. She's that way all the time. When you talk to her on the phone or you see her at a show, that's just the way Tempe is. So it's kind of fun that way. Hey, we promised everybody that we would – I want to get to this because we promised everybody at the beginning of the show that we would play a little bit of Boyd Martin's interview that he did on Sunday. He fell at Southern Pines Horse Trials on one of his horses on Saturday, and he did a rotational fall, went right over the top. He actually landed, the horse landed on him, and the horse got up right away. Horse is fine. But he didn't get up so quickly. He laid there for a while. Matter of fact, Chris was at that jump, and she saw him land there, and she said he wasn't moving. Everybody was concerned that, you know, he was seriously hurt. And apparently he was just taking inventory, make sure everything was still there. All his parts were in place. So, here is a little bit of Boyd interview.
Well, I'm joined now by Boyd Martin. Boyd, it's been an eventful weekend for you. How are you feeling after your fall yesterday?
Not too bad. A little bit stiff and sore. I went to the doctor last night and had a CAT scan to make sure that I didn't have any broken bits on me, and it's just a bit of muscle pain and I suppose as sore as you can feel after you fall off a horse.
Yeah, well, I was at the fence, and as I said on the show last night, Boyd, it looked pretty, I was right behind you, so I didn't see you take out a stride, but I saw you flip over, and it looked like it was going to be a pretty sore fall.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say I made a big mistake, and it was completely my fault, the fall. Last Mark's a brilliant jumper, and he likes going from a close, deeper distance just because he's a little bit shorter striding. Anyway, about five strides out from this oxer, I saw him moving up distance, which was the wrong thing on this particular horse. And I moved up, and he wanted to go deeper, and we sort of met halfway, unfortunately. Yeah.
So what did he catch, a front leg on the front bar? Or
basically, I don't know, he hit it in front, and then I just remember flying through the air and then rolling and tumbling a couple of times, and then luckily sort of looking up and Stewie was standing on his feet, so that was the most important thing to me.
Yeah, he jumped up right away. I saw that. That's always a great relief. But you just lay still for a minute, probably just feeling your fingers and toes.
Yeah, I got to say the 0.2 air vest saved my neck, because it was quite a heavy fall, and this morning everything aches on me except the areas which the 0.2 vest were protecting. You know, so I got to say, I think if without that air vest, I think I'd still be lying in hospital in Southern Pines, staring at the roof.
Yeah, you know that. It did cross my mind at the time. I mean, those air vests have saved so many people already, haven't they? They're a tremendous invention.
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't ride. I mean, I cross-country school in them. If I'm riding young horses, I...
Do you? At home?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, if you ride horses, sooner or later you're going to fall off. And
sure.
And that one time that you do fall off, it's important to have one of those things protecting you.
So there you go, Jamie. That was a little bit of the interview. You can hear the rest of that. It'll be out tonight at eventingradio.com. Chris's wrap-up show of Southern Pines will be out tonight. But obviously, he credits the 0.2 air vest. And, of course, that's the same air vest that we got blown up on the show a little while ago.
I know. When we were together in Philadelphia, we got blown up by the 0.2 guys, the creators and inventors of it. So we'll have to repost that on Facebook for those of you who might not know what he's talking about when you talk about the 0.2 air vest. But, you know, he talked about in that interview how he made a little bit of a mistake. This one horse jumped this particular way, and this other horse jumps this particular way. Well, by God, who could keep track? The man rode 10 freaking horses in the horse trials. I mean, I would make a mistake, too.
It's true.
How does he keep it straight?
I don't know. Thank God for their grooms, because there's no way you'd be able to do that without some good grooms to be able to get... Plus, you know, this was one of those horse trials that was odd the first day was dressage and cross country. So he constantly had to be going back and forth between riding cross country and dressage with these horses. So
I know.
Very strange.
That's an organizer's nightmare. Keep that many horses separate, you know, and let them allow them to be able to run back and forth and change clothes. So it is definitely 10. Oh my gosh. No wonder he's stiff and sore from the fall or not the fall. I'd be stiff and sore riding 20 rides in a day too.
Well, we're running out of time today, Jamie, but I have something that I have to do here. And this is, a happy birthday, actually, to Einstein, the world's smallest horse. Oh, my God, does Einstein get the press? It was in the New York Post. It was all over the Internet, everywhere, that it was Einstein's first birthday. And that little guy, I posted some pictures there on the link up on our Facebook page. He's still cute as a dickens, isn't he?
Oh, my gosh, he's tiny. He's tiny, so. But hey, thanks to Sarah for listening and talking about. Yes, it is all about the horses. She totally agrees with me, and I also posted on Facebook Rachel Alexander's full sister. Obviously, we also put the video of the peeps exploding, so you can check out our Facebook page, Horses in the Morning. Just search for that. But yeah, we're out of time. So Glenn, do you have anything else to say before you say goodbye?
Nope, that's about it. Remember to listen to all the shows. They're all out from last week. You can do that at horseradionetwork.com, or you can search for any of them on iTunes and get them automatically downloaded to your iPod or your MP3 player. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter as well, at Horse Radio.
Of course, and of course we'd like to thank our new affiliates, Bursewader.com, and you can listen to this show on all our affiliate websites or on iTunes or ours at horsesinthemorning.com. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern, so say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody, and here's Templeton Thompson, Little Rebel.